You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPNU. We are presented by Progressive Insurance along with Michelle Swoman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Yes, there's a lot to get to with the NFL from over the weekend, but today is an important day. First off, it is MLK Day, Martin Luther King Day, where we honor the great MLK, and it is horrific that MLK had to do everything he had to do to open up doors for people, because those doors never should have been closed, and they should have been open and will continue to be open for so many people forever.
No doubt. I'm sitting here today being able to do this job because of the sacrifices that Martin Luther King made and how he inspired others to do the same thing, to force America to reckon with race in a way that they never had before, and to actually acknowledge the humanity of black and brown peoples in this country, but also the impact that it made worldwide. Smalls, it's crazy to think that he did all of this and established such a vast legacy when he died at 39 years old. But it just goes to show you what the value is behind doing what you can do in the time and space that you exist in order to make your community a better place, to make this country a better place, and ultimately make this world a better place. And the quote that I will always go back to from Martin Luther King, he says, and I quote, "If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward." And I think in the world that we live in today, in this country that's sometimes so divided, I think we have to keep the focus on how we can help one another have a mentality of service, because that's what Dr. King's legacy is all about, being a servant leader.
That quote just hits you. You know, when you hear those words, it hits you. And some people who have this time on earth make such an impact. And I just think about him, and I think about the times and how he was so headstrong and his convictions and lived his life without fear. And there was a lot happening that was trying to work against him, and he would not allow it. And the impact that he made on our country, on our society, on the world, it's immeasurable. It really is.
You know, the sports world does so much to honor Martin Luther King, but I think there's one more step that we can go. And we see NBA games. We're going to have an NBA game later today here on ESPN Radio. I'd like on Martin Luther King Day for the NBA to play one game every year at an HBCU. I understand financially that it's not going to be a big hit because of the smaller arenas. One game every year on this day at an HBCU. I think it would be fun. I think it would be, you can raise money for all kinds of initiatives.
Yeah.
I think that to me, one game, that's all I'm asking for every year at an HBCU.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and have the proceeds from that game, the advertising dollars around that game, go to those HBCUs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Love that.
So with that,
the Cowboys fans had a dream.
By the way, we played that.
Cowboys
now
fans.
You're doing MLK, bitch.
Cowboys fans had a dream.
You know what? That feels like
they had a dream.
It feels like an evergreen statement.
Right?
You can say that for 28 years now.
48-32. That's what happened yesterday. The Dallas Cowboys lost to the Green Bay Packers 48-32. So let me do something here before we get to the meat of this. Let me first give Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst credit for what they did yesterday, because that was remarkable. Jordan Love, 16 of 21, 272, three touchdowns. Aaron Jones, the running back, 118 and three touchdowns. They were awesome. We're going to get into the Packers. I want to make sure that everyone knows that when we get critiqued for only talking about the Cowboys today, we did start technically with the Packers. Now that that's over, what happened yesterday to the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, they got bullied from pillar to post. I mean, they were out-coached from the opening kick. Check that. They were out-coached at the coin toss. I mean, think about how the Dallas Cowboys, this season, I think they were 7-0 when they score first in games. And so the wherewithal for Matt LaFleur to take the coin toss, give the ball to his offense, for them to suck the air out of the building and really quiet the crowd and settle his young quarterback in with a long drive that takes up over, what, 8 minutes of game clock? I mean, that is exactly the script that you would want in order to make sure that you calm everything down, and the focus for your team and specifically for Jordan Love is on executing. And Smalls, boy, did they ever. I mean, Jordan Love was absolutely surgical in that football game, making the plays that he needed to make, being able to throw off of his back foot. I think you saw the arm talent and why this Packers organization fell in love with him 4 years ago when they drafted him. But, I mean, he made every single throw that he needed to make in that game. I guess that goes without saying. But I can't say how much I'm impressed with what Jordan Love did yesterday going into that environment in Texas Stadium against – I mean, well, not Texas Stadium, AT&T Stadium against a really good defense with arguably the best defensive player in all of football and coming out there with an emphatic win yesterday.
They absolutely embarrassed them. They crushed them. The final score is not indicative of what this game was. The Green Bay Packers seized control early, and even though it was kind of a back-and-forth game, if you will, no one ever really felt like the Cowboys were going to come back or that they were going to in any way be able to summon what was needed to beat the Green Bay Packers in this one. And I want to say I'm surprised, but I'm not, because I wanted to pick the Packers heading into this game because of pressure. The Packers had been playing great down the stretch. This is a young team. It felt like they had nothing to lose. They already had established what they needed to this season, and that made them so dangerous to me. And conversely, the Dallas Cowboys had all the pressure in the world on them. Yep. They had been dominant at home this entire season. We know that the regular season doesn't matter with the Cowboys. When we would be doing these previews during the regular season, oh, the Cowboys and the 49ers, the Cowboys and the Eagles, what is this going to tell you about them? I kept saying nothing. The Dallas Cowboys only have to prove one thing to anybody, and that's in the postseason, where they consistently fall up short, and they did it again yesterday. You could set your watch to it. The Dallas Cowboys will find a way to mess it up, even when they've been dominant at home and they have home field advantage in the playoffs.
Cowboys have not been to an NFC championship game since 95. They've won 36 games in 3 years and have not gone to a championship game. That's the most ever over a three-year stretch without going to a championship game. Green Bay in this game was up 27-0. 34-10, and 48-16. This was an annihilation, and Dak Prescott discussed it, their quarterback, postgame.
Yeah, I mean, frustrated, as you just said, is the great word for my play. The way that we came out here, and we started this game, and then just shocked, honestly. From the beginning of the game, yeah, we got beat. There's no other which way around it, no way to sugarcoat it. Obviously, I didn't play well, and shock.
You know, before we get to the Jerry Jones sound, I want to bring up something about this game. Something weird was happening with the Cowboys. It just felt like something was off. And then Kevin Burkhardt, is a great announcer on Fox, kept alluding to like something weird with CeeDee Lamb and Dak. I don't know what that thing is. I don't know if this is one of these things we're going to find out after the fact. Like, hey, there was internal strife or whatever. But even if there was, I mean, this was a destruction that even if you thought, like you just said, Smalls, about like maybe I'll pick the Packers, anybody who's picking the Packers is not picking this kind of version of a game yesterday.
No.
There's no way.
No, yeah. Nobody saw this coming. I mean, listen, you could say that you thought the Packers might have been a live dog in that, but I think that's as far as anybody was willing to go.
Exactly.
Nobody saw this coming. But I guess the whole point of it is you're wondering whether or not it was the Dallas Cowboys choking or the Green Bay Packers, you know, being better than what everybody expected. And the answer to that question would be yes. I think that was both. And to me, the surprising part is Dallas, a team that has playoff experience, a team that won a playoff game a year ago, would come up so small in such a big spot. And all they did over the last several weeks is talk about how they wanted to go on a Super Bowl run. Remember, Dak Prescott talking about how he bought the Louis Vuitton luggage just to remind himself of where the Super Bowl is. He got the quote, "I've got Louis Vuitton luggage. It's because of the LV, Las Vegas. If I look at my bag, it's all LV, literally. I just got my girl a bag the other day. I'm like, the only one I'm getting is one of these with the LV logo on it." Did that really need to be said?
He needs to do Fendi.
Did that really need to be said?
Well, you know what? This game did come with some baggage, because there's going to be some ripple effects from this one, that's for sure. It's not the baggage that he wanted, but there's definitely going to be baggage here.
Oh, no doubt about it. And there should be, right? And Dak tried to defend Mike McCarthy at the end of it and saying, yeah, if McCarthy's on the hot seat, then I should be on the hot seat too. I'm sorry, Dak, that's not how it works. When your head coach is putting you in a situation where you can host two playoff games and get to the conference championship game and you get trounced at home against a team that's the youngest in all of football with the quarterback in his first full season as the starter, I mean, there's no way. I mean, think about this. Jordan Love had a 99.3 QBR. That's the best QBR in playoff history since they kept the metric starting in 2006. He's been absolutely phenomenal. As a matter of fact, there have only been four quarterbacks that have posted a QBR better than 90 ever in the playoffs. They're Tom Brady, Josh Allen, then you have C.J. Stroud on Saturday and Jordan Love and what he did on Sunday. That's how good Jordan Love was, but that's also how bad the Dallas Cowboys defense is. Now, I'm not going to pin it all on them because guess what? The offense gave up a pick six, two interceptions by Dak in the first half. One set up a point blank scoring opportunity for the Green Bay Packers offense. So it's not all on the defense. The offense does deserve some blame, but ultimately it all falls on the head coach and him having his team prepared to seize the moment. And they clearly weren't yesterday.
The Cowboys allowed their most points in playoff history. They allowed their most points in playoff history, and a 16-game home winning streak was broken yesterday.
Yeah.
This is a team that has immense talent. Mm-hmm. They have an unbelievable defense. They have a quarterback who we said was in the MVP conversation the entire season. They have a lot of talent on offense. They have a Super Bowl winning head coach. Jerry Jones, their owner, has said, as you mentioned, this is a Super Bowl caliber team all season long. And they went out there and let Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers allow the most points at home to them in playoff history.
Yeah, I mean, the head coach is going to get fired. Let's just call this what it is. If you listen to what Jerry Jones had to say yesterday, how he was noncommittal, how he didn't want to talk about it, it's clear and obvious that he was hedging against the possibility that Mike McCarthy could be fired. And I go back to what Adam Schefter said last week about a team that might potentially fall flat in the playoffs being interested in Bill Belichick because he's available. I don't know if you're Jerry Jones how you don't make that decision to move on from McCarthy and entertain the possibility of hiring Bill Belichick. I understand McCarthy and what he's been able to do the last 3 years, but it ain't about regular season success for Jerry. It's about winning championships. And I'm not going to say Mike McCarthy can't do it, but I do think there's an opportunity to upgrade, and I think he makes that decision. Now, the other thing that the Cowboys are going to have to contend with now that the season is over with, is what the hell we do with Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. And Ev, I don't know how you decide to pay Dak Prescott this offseason coming off of that playoff performance. I get that he's got a $59.5 million cap hit in 2024. I don't know how you triple down and give him more money this offseason after that abysmal playoff showing.
Well, all year long, you guys have heard me defend Mike McCarthy. I can't even say his name today.
You said you're about to Mike Martz?
No, I'm not defending him.
We love Mike Martz.
All year long, you've heard me defend Mike McCarthy and how good he is as a head coach and how underrated he is and people are unfair with him, et cetera, et cetera. You will not hear that over the next 4 hours. Super Wild Card Weekend ends with the Eagles visiting the Bucks on Monday Night Football. Monday Night Countdown kicks off the coverage at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Then catch the game on ESPN, ABC, ESPN+, ESPN Deportes, and the Manning Cast on ESPN2. All right, coming up, we just teased it. What is next for the Dallas Cowboys? Is McCarthy back? Is Dak back? What's Jerry going to do? We'll find out next on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
I've been telling y'all now, just wait, be patient, they won't let you down.
It's one of the worst playoff games the Cowboys have ever played, and exactly where it ranks on your own personal playoff disappointment list is up to you to decide.
Very disappointed. I don't think anybody saw this coming.
It seems like the most painful because we all had such great expectation and we had hope for this team.
Well, Stephen A. is going to be laughing all day today like he was last night with the Dallas Cowboys getting absolutely annihilated at the hands of the Green Bay Packers, 48-32. We are on Sportsmanlike along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. So the question now, guys, becomes what's next for the Dallas Cowboys, and I have defended McCarthy from the jump. I think he's an underrated football coach. He wins a lot of football games, but I think he's become the Buck Showalter of the NFL. He's going to get you really competitive and really good, but somebody else is going to finish the job at this point. I'm not going to defend him today.
I don't feel good with you being on that side, though. Like, I want you to stay stay with Greg Olsen, stay on that side of the fence. I want you to stay there.
I go there.
And saying that McCarthy should be the head coach in 2024. I just don't understand, based on the body of evidence and what we've seen the last three postseasons, how you could think that it's actually going to be different once you get to the playoffs. Right now, we have enough of a sample size to realize that maybe, just maybe, he was the one to build the foundation, and now you need somebody else to take you to the next level.
Buck Showalter style.
Yeah.
Yankees, Diamondbacks, all these different teams. It's a weird comparison cross-sport, I get it, but Buck Showalter, baseball manager, Smalls knows better than anybody, gets you competitive, but doesn't get you over the top. So when Greg Olsen, what team is he most known for? Carolina Panthers. Says Mike McCarthy's going to have a job next year. Carolina Panthers make a lot of sense for him. He'll get them competitive. He won't get them over the top. I'm not going to defend him today. I can't. I can't do a fake take. You guys have pounced on him saying, I need to see him in that game yesterday. You saw him. You were right. I was wrong. No problem admitting that.
Well, is it easier for you to admit it knowing it might be your ultimate guy in Bill Belichick that takes over for McCarthy?
I don't see that. I don't know why. I could be wrong on this.
Oh, I do. We said it on Friday. Couldn't you see it playing out this way where Dak and Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys have been great all season long and this young, hungry team and Jordan Love and the Packers comes in, upsets them in Jerry's world, and now you have the greatest coach in the history of the NFL out there? I mean, there is no team that's more desperate to win than the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones is the ruler of the NFL universe, and he can't get this done. I can imagine, and he's not getting any younger either. Like, he wants this to happen. He has this massive sense of urgency, and he had set the standard all season long. This is a Super Bowl caliber team, and they fell short yet again. He was noncommittal yesterday with Mike McCarthy. I can absolutely see him wanting to fire Mike McCarthy, go out there, put all of his chips in with Bill Belichick. Wouldn't you, if you're Jerry Jones, be too intoxicated by the thought of the greatest coach in the history of the NFL being out there and him being the one that you bring in to bring you a Super Bowl? It just makes too much sense.
If you are right, what I'm about to do here is play sound that we will not hear ever again. That is post-game Jerry Jones sound. In other words, if Belichick is the coach of the Cowboys, this will be over next year. There is no way Jerry Jones will have a weekly media hit. There's no way he's meeting with the media post-game. He becomes silent if Belichick is the head coach. Here is Jerry Jones on whether or not he's thought about firing Mike McCarthy.
When will you sit down, Mike, and kind of talk about it?
I haven't thought about that.
Okay, you haven't thought about that, but the loss and the head coach change possibility, Jerry?
When I think about it, which I haven't thought one second about it, I know how hard, how much it meant to our fans to advance. What this loss to me means, again, I opened up by saying not how, why, who didn't do what, all of that kind of thing. The only thing that was on my mind almost this entire game was not an analysis of our strategy, not an analysis of the play. It was, do we get to play here again next week? And we can't, and that could have happened by a point, or it could have happened the way it happened out there. And that's all I'm thinking about, and that's all I've thought about.
All right. Well, the man who everybody's calling for his job was asked directly, Mike McCarthy, if this could result in a coaching change.
Jerry had said we'll take it game by game regarding your job status. Do you think this could lead to a coaching change?
I think the biggest thing is we're disappointed. I'm not going to hold team in the locker rooms. That's hurting. You know, I haven't thought past the outcome of this game.
Well, one guy who is defending him is Dak Prescott. Here's what the quarterback had to say.
Yeah, he's been amazing. I don't know how they can be, but I understand the business. In that case, it should be about me as well, honestly. I mean, that guy, I've had the season that I've had because of him. This team's had the success that they've had because of him. I understand it's about winning the Super Bowl, and that's the standard of the league and damn sure the standard of this place. So I get it, but add me to the list in that case.
I love that he's trying to defend his coach, but he didn't defend him if it's all because of him and then you saw yesterday happen.
Yeah, how can you defend an indefensible? And here's the other part about this. Dak Prescott was bad in that game. Mm-hmm. That's the part that we can't gloss over. He wasn't great. And you're asking the question, Ev, of what was going on between Dak and CeeDee Lamb and the rest of the offense. Well, I'll tell you, CeeDee Lamb was frustrated because the guy that he relies on to get in the football was having his worst game of the season. Dak Prescott finished the game with 11 off-target incompletions. That's the second most by a Cowboys quarterback in a playoff game. The first most, Dak Prescott a couple of years ago against the San Francisco 49ers. So, again, if you're a player, if you're CeeDee Lamb, knowing the history and knowing how Dak has struggled in big spots against quality competition, it gets frustrating when your quarterback starts the game, first four drives, 7-13, 61 yards, zero touchdowns, two interceptions that led to two touchdowns for the Green Bay Packers. That's where the frustration came from. That's why this offense struggled to get on track, and the only time they were actually able to move the ball consistently came in empty calorie stats in a fourth quarter where they started the quarter down 41-16. That's what happened to the Dallas Cowboys. I don't want to take credit away from the Green Bay Packers because they put the pressure on Dallas, but Dallas ultimately crumbled under the expectations and under the pressure that the Packers were able to apply.
And somebody's going to take the fall for this. There's no doubt about it. And I don't know if they can move on from Dak. I mean, are you really going to be able to find a quarterback that's better than Dak Prescott right now? Do you want to draft and start over? I mean, they are in such a conundrum right now, the Dallas Cowboys are. They have so many free agents coming up this season. Even the next season, they have a huge financial puzzle that awaits them over the next two seasons, including Dak Prescott. And I just see this being a Mike McCarthy. He's going to end up being the fall guy for this because they're going to have to revamp this team.
Smalls, you're asking the question, and I'm not saying that they can move on from Dak Prescott this offseason, but I'm damn sure not paying Dak Prescott this offseason. This might be an offseason where I'm looking for a quarterback in the draft in the first 2 days. This might be that type of offseason. Now, they made the trade. They got Trey Lance. That's supposed to be more of a long-term project. But I think I get serious about trying to get another option at quarterback, not for 2024, but beyond 2024, just because I can't justify giving Dak Prescott a top-of-the-market deal. I mean, do you want to pay Dak Prescott $55 million a year on a 3 or 4 year extension? I don't. I wouldn't feel good about that. Jerry hasn't gotten the return on investment in the way of postseason success. Dak is 2-5 in playoff games. The only Cowboys quarterback that has a worse winning percentage is Don Meredith, who's 1-3. Like at some point, you have to acknowledge, hey, you know what? Maybe Dak Prescott might not be the guy to win me a title. I can't replace him right now because I don't have an option. He's still a top 10 quarterback when you look at the numbers, especially in the regular season. But you can't ignore the lack of postseason success. And there was no excuse for losing to a Green Bay Packers team and having Jordan Love, a quarterback, making his playoff debut in his first full season as a starter, clearly outplay your quarterback. That was an embarrassment for McCarthy, and it was an embarrassment for Dak. And here's the other part that's going to sound a little hot takey, but I think this is the reality. We've probably seen Mike McCarthy in his last game as a head coach in the National Football League. I don't think that's too far a bridge to cross. I think that's how embarrassing that performance is, and it's going to be a tough sell for any owner that this is the guy that you need to bring in order to get your program right.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is your telephone number to join the show. Do you want Mike McCarthy back? Do you want Dak Prescott back? Do you want both of them gone? If you were given a choice of McCarthy back or Dak on a contract extension at $55 million a year, which one do you want, Cowboys fans? Plus, the Lions won a playoff game. We'll get to that. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman. Unsportsmanlike.
I don't know how you decide to pay Dak Prescott this offseason coming off of that playoff performance. I get that he's got a $59.5 million cap hit in 2024. I don't know how you triple down and give him more money this offseason after that abysmal playoff showing.
Well, CC, I don't know that they're going to. We are on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPNU. 888-SAY-ESPN is your telephone number to join the show. After the Packers annihilated the Cowboys yesterday, 48-32, Green Bay had more points yesterday by 12 than they did in each of Aaron Rodgers' last two playoff games combined for Green Bay.
Who was madder yesterday, Aaron Rodgers or Cowboys fans?
I'm going to say Cowboys fans, because Aaron Rodgers might be on a wellness retreat doing ayahuasca. He might be chilling. I don't even know if he wants to.
Oh, no, he'll take credit for this. Oh, Jordan's my guy. I trained him. I wanted him there the whole time. It was a great, great partnership.
Right, right.
All right, let's get to the phones. Right. Cowboys fans want to weigh in. This will be fun today. Paul in Lexington, Kentucky on 1300 AM. What's up, Paul?
We have a Romeo, we have a Valentine, and we have a love. Where is the love for Green Bay? I don't want to talk about the aura of the Jets or Rodgers anymore. I don't want to talk about the Cowboys. I want to talk about one of the best stories in the NFL in the last 20 years, the number 7 seed, first time ever to win a playoff game. Let's talk about the Green Bay Packers and what they've done. I'm tired of talking about the Cowboys. They lost Jones, Prescott, the whole deal. Turn the page on them today, please. Let's talk about the winners.
Well, and that's day, and guys. That Thank is you. Why we started the show talking about the Green Bay Packers. The first team we talked about were the Green Bay Packers. But I'll give you something. Brian Gutekunst right now can be argued as the best general manager in all of football. He made a move that it was impossible to make in saying goodbye to Aaron Rodgers. He drafted a quarterback when he wanted one, not when he needed one.
Yep.
He has a quarterback that can easily outperform his contract. He has the youngest roster in the NFL, I believe, and he is set for years to come. This is the beginning of the Green Bay Packers, not the end. They've done it again, guys.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the Packers this week, too, because they're continuing to play. But, I mean, it's nothing that I saw yesterday is I guess, new news in terms of what Jordan Love is capable of. Now, we never know how a player is going to react to playoff pressure, but since week 11, he's been the best quarterback in the NFC, and he just kept that pushing. He had the top QBR in the NFC, and now you're talking about this dude being able to put together a playoff run that is going to feature him going on the road against the Dallas Cowboys and then earning the opportunity to play against what many people believe is the best team in the NFC in the San Francisco 49ers this coming weekend. I mean, you got to earn the right to advance in the postseason, and he clearly did that, and his performance was beyond his years. I mean, some of the throws that he made yesterday, Smalls, it's just incredible. Like, I'm just thinking back to a throw that he made. It was 3rd and 9, 3 minutes left in the first quarter. And the guy rolls out, gets cut off by Tank Lawrence, settles back in the pocket, stares down the gun barrel, takes an absolute shot from Dorrance Armstrong, and delivers a dime to Romeo Doubs on a dagger. It's just incredible to be able to watch him with that level of quarterback play, but also that level of poise in the situation, not panicking, not trying to do too much. And we've seen quarterbacks in situations. Hell, Jared Goff last night, he's under pressure against the LA Rams, and he almost turns the ball over by trying to flip it to one of his tight ends. But, I mean, what Jordan Love did yesterday, I mean, just some of the throws that he was making, it just showed you the natural talent that he has, coupled with the maturity and the poise. And I couldn't be more impressed with him being able to rise to the occasion under those circumstances.
The sky's the limit for Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. If this is his performance in his first year as a starter, and he can go into Dallas, who's been absolutely dominant at home, and put up a performance like that, what is this team not capable of? They're so young. They're going to grow together. He clearly has that chemistry with Matt LaFleur. I mean, this is a team that is going to be a force to be reckoned with for years. I mean, it's really exciting if you're a Green Bay Packers fan. And you mentioned Brian Gutekunst, and we will praise him all week long. Today is the immediacy of what's going to happen with the Dallas Cowboys. Are they going to move on from their head coach? There's Bill Belichick out there. I mean, there's a lot to unpack with the Dallas Cowboys today, and we will be giving the Green Bay Packers their flowers all week. But not only did he draft a quarterback when he wanted one, but not when he needed one. He did so knowing that the guy who was there, the future Hall of Famer, was going to be mad about it.
But it helped. Him being mad actually helped because he had two better seasons than he did previously, so he motivated him a little bit.
But how many general managers would have the stomach to do that?
Very few, because we could list, not for today, but we could list a lot of different ones that should draft a quarterback this year as in basically the Jordan Love model. Brent in Raleigh, North Carolina on 99.9 The Fan. What's up, Brent?
Hey, diehard Cowboy fan here. I'm not angry. I'm just resigned to the fact we have a second-tier quarterback, we have an overrated defense, and I just look for this to happen every year, and I just don't know when the end is going to come. I don't care about the regular season no more. I just wait for the ball to drop in the playoffs.
Well, and it's all fair. That's kind of what Stephen A. was saying, that at some point it's going to happen. You have every right to critique Dak Prescott today. If you didn't see the game and you just saw the numbers, you would think he had a good game. Empty calorie stats, as CeCe said, late in the game, down 48-16. But listen, there's been one constant through all of this. McCarthy's going to lose his job. You guys have been saying it. You're right. Dak is probably not going to get the extension he wants. But at some point, we have to look at Jerry Jones and say whatever it is that he's doing and operating this organization is just not working, because not having been to the NFC Championship game since 1995, there's only one person who's been there the entire time, and it's Jerry.
Yeah, he's the common denominator. But I will say this about the team that they've put together. It's not that they have a lack of talent. I think Will McClay has done a great job of being able to find talent for Jerry Jones. He's their senior personnel guy down there in Dallas. But I think it's the overall mentality of the team. And it starts top down. The Dallas Cowboys are soft, Smalls. Mm. They're soft physically. They're soft mentally. And people don't want to talk about it, but that's the reality of it. Green Bay punched them in the face. And Dallas didn't respond. They had no answer. And think about this. This is a defense that couldn't stop the run when it matters the most. This is a team that can't run the ball when it actually matters. If you look at the second half of that game, Green Bay was able to salt that game away by running the football. 18 carries for 111 yards. Aaron Jones, 9 carries for 88 yards at 9.8 a clip. I mean, at some point, you got to be able to get stops. The Dallas Cowboys defense wasn't able to do that. And offensively, when your quarterback is struggling, you couldn't lean on a run game. I'm sorry, Tony Pollard, he's not Ezekiel Elliott from 3 or 4 years ago. He's just not a lead back. And they don't have another guy that can get you the tough yards in between the tackles, somebody that can keep your offense on schedule with your quarterback just turning around and handing it off. So I do think that there are some issues that they have to address personnel-wise, but I think the biggest issue with this team is the overall mentality, and that's why I think they need to have a change at the head coaching spot, somebody that can infuse some toughness in that locker room.
There are certain places where you have to have that extra layer of mental toughness. The Dallas Cowboys, the New York Yankees. You just know that there is going to be so much pressure and noise that surrounds you because of the laundry that you wear. And you know who always has been pretty good at finding guys who can block out the noise and knows how to find guys with toughness, mental and physical? Bill Belichick.
Well, CeCe just narrowed down the candidate pool if they fire Mike McCarthy to two guys. Because if you're going to critique toughness, which is fair, it's Belichick or Vrabel.
That's it. That's the list.
Brian Flores makes sense, too, but they're not going to go for him. It's Belichick and Vrabel.
That's the list.
Wayne in L.A. on ESPN 710. What's up, Wayne?
Yes, good morning, and thank you guys for taking my call.
What a voice. Oh, my God, amazing.
Thank you. I just want to say, I just think this social media thing that the Cowboys, they get all soaked up in it, and they got really immersed in, all we have to do is beat the Washington Commanders, and we're at home for two games. They're totally disrespecting the Green Bay Packers. The Packers came in and said, like, well, we're going to show you, we're just not going to lay down because you got a star on the side of your head. It don't mean nothing to us because we got a G on the side of ours, and we have prestige, too, and a history, too. We had Bart Starr. We had Aaron Rodgers. We have other Hall of Famers. We had Jerry Krause, Kramer. So,
oh, greatness.
So, you can't say that, you know, it's all about the star, you know, like it used to be. Doomsday is like doomsday is just gone. And thank you guys for taking my call. Y'all have a great show. And Michelle, you are beautiful. Have a good one.
Thanks, Wayne. But you know what? Wayne had a great point there. You heard Jordan Love postgame when Aaron Andrews was like, how are you able to dominate this defense? And he's like, because we have a great offense. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he wasn't about to give them credit. He was like, why aren't you looking at us? We believe in ourselves. And Wayne's right. Why wouldn't you believe in yourself if you're the Green Bay Packers? You have the history. You know what Matt LaFleur is capable of. You do have that heritage. You have the juice with your franchise like the Dallas Cowboys once had. So I think Jordan Love did a really good job of taking that confidence and applying it yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Love and that Packers offense, they're looking at themselves and having confidence. Meanwhile, the Cowboys players are looking in the past at former Cowboy players and past Cowboys teams and trying to live off of their legacy. And here's the thing. The last caller talked about all of the talking that the Dallas Cowboys doing. I mean, Michael Parsons last week, he said, you know, be phenomenal or be forgotten. The way Jimmy Johnson, Michael Irvin, and the way people show them love, Charles Haley, that's what me, CeeDee Lamb, and Dak Prescott all want to be, that legacy, and earn our way that type of Cowboys Hall of Fame. Why the hell are you talking about that before a playoff game? Why are you even referencing that before you're talking about the Green Bay Packers? Why are you even talking about that? That's the part that doesn't make sense to me, and that's the part where it's fair to blame Mike McCarthy, because a part of the head coach's job responsibility is to make sure that your team is focused on the task at hand. Set the agenda for your locker room, and with all of the talking about what they're going to do on this playoff run and getting to Las Vegas and Michael Parsons being bleeping phenomenal, all of this stuff, nobody's talking about beating the Green Bay Packers. Nobody's talking about the hottest quarterback in the NFC and Jordan Love coming into the post. Nobody was talking about that. And the way that they played, it actually showed.
Boy, if Belichick takes over, he's got a lot of shows to shut down. Jerry Jones' show.
Mike Parsons' show. Yeah.
These outlets that have these entities, get ready to talk to your advertising partners because they have nowhere to go. So you know what? Come to Unsportsmanlike. That's anybody advertising with Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons, that won't exist if Bill Belichick is there. I promise you that. Coming up upon further review with CeCe next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. He still reeks of bacon, wrapped with bacon, with a side of bacon, after a long NFL Sunday.
I love bacon, but I never actually say it. Bacon just knows.
But man, does he have some thoughts. And bacon, this is Upon Further Review with Chris Canty.
She is Michelle Smallman. I am Evan Cohen. He is Chris Canty. He is going upon further review on a day after the Cowboys get destroyed by the Packers and the Lions advance. Lions will take on the winner of the Monday night game tonight between Tampa and Philly, and the Packers will travel to San Francisco.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we got to get to this upon further review. Wild card weekend edition, Smalls. Now, we had one less wild card game than we thought we would, but still, it leads to us having a doubleheader for Monday Night Football. So I love that idea. But here, let's get this thing kicked off. We're going to start out in Arrowhead with the Chiefs and the Dolphins. And my big takeaway in that game is Tua. I don't know how the Miami Dolphins paid Tua coming off of that game. And I said it here on Friday that Tua needed to be the reason why this game against the Chiefs would be a fourth quarter game. And it was anything but. This game was decided after the first quarter. And you could tell, outside of the big ball throw that he had to Tyreek Hill, I mean, there really weren't any explosive plays in the passing game. And you saw all the mistakes. You saw the weather clearly affect Tua. The interception of Mike Edwards was absolutely inexcusable. But overall, this is a Dolphins team that had no path to victory outside of Tua playing really, really well. And so while we'll talk about it being a good story that it finished all – he played in all 17 regular season games. He didn't nearly do enough for the Dolphins to have conviction to pay this guy a top-of-the-market contract coming into this offseason. That means the Dolphins are going to play out the string, allow him to go into 2024 in the fifth-year option, and see what happens. But I think the Dolphins are in the unenviable position of quarterback purgatory because of how Tua played on Sunday.
Yeah. Before the season, you would have said Tua's healthy the entire season, and you would have given us his stat lines without any context. We would have said, oh, yeah, he's taking that right to the bank. Absolutely. Shot at jujitsu for Tua to be able to stay healthy all season long. But the market dictates that if you're going to keep him, you're likely going to have to pay him a contract that starts with a five in the beginning of it. And I just don't know if, based what we've seen, context does matter if he's the guy.
He is their franchise quarterback. He is not a franchise quarterback. And what they have to decide right now is if he's their franchise quarterback pass next year, I can't give him a contract pass next year, and I'm going to draft a quarterback at 22. If J.J. McCarthy's available or Michael Penix Jr. is available at 22, I'm drafting that quarterback. I'm telling them you're not playing next year, but I'm drafting you. The other thing just to keep an eye on, in no way, shape, or form am I saying, CC and Smalls, that this should happen or will happen. Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, two things have happened in the past. He has gone hard after Jim Harbaugh, and he's had a quick hook with coaches. Just something to put out there. Mike McDaniel would be scooped up in 2 seconds. But just have to note that about the ownership of the Dolphins.
No doubt about it. And I get it. But we got to keep this thing pushing. Upon further review, the second one we got, Smalls, the Chicago Bears absolutely made a mistake with the number one overall pick last year. I mean, after we watched what C.J. Stroud did on Saturday, the Chicago Bears clearly made a mistake with the first overall pick in 2023. Now, they traded down with the Carolina Panthers and ended up getting the Panthers' number one draft pick this year, which happens to be the first overall. But to me, the mistake that they made last year in passing on the promise that was C.J. Stroud lets me know that Justin Fields won't be the quarterback for the Chicago Bears in 2024. There's no way they could justify the opportunity cost of passing on Caleb Williams and Drake May and Jaden Daniels at the top of this year's draft for an unknown in Justin Fields after you have a 3-year sample size and still having huge question marks around whether or not he's your long-term option. Smalls, I get it. Things haven't been ideal with the Chicago Bears and maybe not the right environment to develop or not the right, but the most ideal environment to develop a franchise quarterback. But the Houston Texans were every bit as dysfunctional coming into this last offseason as the Chicago Bears was, and C.J. Stroud just won his first playoff game. So, yeah, the Chicago Bears, they have to take a quarterback at the top of this year's draft.
Yeah, they obviously regret that one. C.J. Stroud is transformational. He is a transformational franchise quarterback. It's unbelievable what he's been able to do in his first season with the Houston Texans. And to your point, I don't know if Chicago would have developed him in the same way. I don't know if we'd get this same version of C.J. Stroud if he was drafted by the Bears. But I certainly didn't think the Houston Texans were in a good place to develop a guy like C.J. Stroud. And shout out to them for putting D'Amico Ryans in there and for putting him in a position to succeed.
My simple thought is good luck to every rookie quarterback now for the next 5 years, because you're going to be compared to his rookie year and you're not going to be able to beat it. Simple as that.
Yeah. And Speaking of his rookie year, C.J. Stroud, this is the next one. The youngest quarterback to win a playoff game. The youngest quarterback to win a playoff game. That is where C.J. Stroud is. I mean, think about it. He's 22 years old and 102 days. I mean, the previous youngest was Michael Vick at 22 years and 192 days. Oof. But C.J. Stroud threw 3 touchdown passes all in the first half. And Smalls, it could have been another one had Dalton Schultz not dropped the pass. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this guy was absolutely phenomenal.
That was a bad drop.
This game was never in doubt because of how poised C.J. Stroud was. There was that one miss to Nico Collins where he just didn't put enough air under it, but that would have been another huge touchdown play. But, I mean, C.J. Stroud was just making play after play after play. And to me, when you have a quarterback that has that kind of poise to execute at that level against that caliber of defense in the Cleveland Browns, like that is nothing short of impressive. Yet we had somebody else follow up what we saw from C.J. Stroud on Saturday on Sunday in his playoff debut, and that would be Jordan Love. And Jordan Love is the hottest quarterback in football. I don't think there's any other way to say it. I mean, think about it. His first 7 drives in the game yesterday, touchdown, punt, touchdown, 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 touchdown.
Mm.
I mean, think about
that. That is crazy.
That is ridiculous. He had 5 consecutive touchdown drives in 6 of 7 to start the game.
And we just showed the play on ESPNU where it was a broken play and he still found a way to get Romeo Doubs the ball. I mean, this guy, he had just beautiful throw after beautiful throw. You think about the way he started, the way the Lions started last night with 3 straight drives of 75 yards. Get the ball first. That's what you learned this weekend. Get the ball first.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Nobody wants to play against these 2 quarterbacks. And, and here's the big takeaway from those 2 guys this past weekend. Both of them, regardless of what happens from here on out in the playoffs, both of them will start next season as top 10 players at the position.
No doubt.
Both of them will be top 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League going into 2024. That's how good those guys have been in the second half of this year. That's how good those guys have shown in the wild card round.
I would bet you right now C.J. Stroud will be the MVP favorite going into next season.
Wow.
Think about it.
We still live in a world where Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback on the planet.
Yeah, I understand
and,
that.
And based on what happens with the Ravens in the playoffs, if Lamar wins it, you don't think that he's going to be
right
there?
No, I think it's going to be C.J. Stroud. I'm telling you, I think C.J. Stroud will be the MVP favorite going into next season.
Well, here's the thing. C.J. Stroud ain't going to have his offensive coordinator no more either. Bobby Slowick is going to get a job somewhere as a head coach. So that's going to happen. So I don't know how that's going to work out. But I'll say this. Both of them are going to be top 10 at the position. And if you have the conversation right now about which quarterback would you want to have, would you rather have Jordan Love, C.J. Stroud, or Dak Prescott? I think the first 2 might come off the board before Dak.
Might?
I think
I am a Dak fan. Every single person, because you're thinking about it over the next 5 years.
Totally.
Those 2 guys above Dak every day of the week. And I'm rooting for Dak.
Wow.
I don't know if people heard the Cowboys lost yesterday. We'll get to that next.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.